Hey everybody, welcome to the Sports Day AHS podcast. Yay. I am Michael Florek, here with you again this week, joined by the guru, Matt Wixon. Matt, how are you doing?
I'm good. I don't know if I'm the guru.
You got an upgrade from old guy.
Yeah, I called you old guy last week. I felt bad about it.
He had to go the total opposite way, so now I'm guru.
Sage.
Also with us, Mr. Avi Zalin. Avi?
I can't wait for my title. Resident annoying guy, Avi Zalin.
We'll say you're
small doses.
Sports Day HS digital expert. Is that fair?
Sure, whatever. We got to move this train along.
Okay, and then we have Mr. Joe Hoyt. He's our fall intern. Joe just experienced his first Friday Night Lights. What was that?
The way you worded it, I thought it was kind of funny.
Oh. Yeah, Joe just experienced his first Friday Night Lights. Joe,
how
was the experience?
It was fun. It was cool. It kind of lived up to everything as advertised. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to doing it some more.
Okay, so Joe was at Euless Trinity Broken Arrow. Now, you come from California, went to school in Oregon, have familiarity in both California and Oregon prep sports. How do they compare to what you saw on Friday night?
So I turned to a guy in the press box and I was like, man, I can't believe it, how big this is. And, you know, he was joking like, oh, you know, maybe we should get a press box announcer here to tell us the flags and the injuries and stuff. And I was like, yeah, that'd be nice in high school. And he's like, no, most of the other schools do it. And I was just blown away at how like big Pennington Field was in comparison to every single venue I've ever seen. And it's not even the biggest. So, yeah.
So you mentioned in your little like intro article for us that your high school played on Friday night once a year, basically.
Yeah.
And you had to play on Saturday mornings. How was the atmosphere on just like a Saturday morning high school football game?
So we played about one, and you could kind of tell that, like, you know, in the first half, it was kind of lazy. Fans were just like, you know, oh, you know, it's Saturday afternoon, and here I am in the sun baking at a football field. Not the same impact as Friday Night Lights, for sure. But yeah, the homecoming game was always cool. That's when we had our Friday games, and definitely that's when people came out. Or we lost our homecoming game, so the one time under the lights.
It's all your fault.
It's all my fault.
That's just
Whataburger's better than In-N-Out. Don't at me.
That's just a depressing little note here.
Yep.
So just when I came down here in 2012 as an intern and had never experienced Friday Night Lights, and I was blown away by the inflatables that they run out of before. Just what kind of stood out to you the most in that first game that you witnessed?
I mean, just, you know, like you said, the inflatables were huge, smoke machines. They almost didn't have enough smoke for Trinity. They were testing it, and they're like, no, don't ruin all the smoke.
If you're not choking on it, it's not enough.
Yeah, no. So, yeah, that was pretty crazy. Just all the different fans. There was like four different, I mean, I don't know the specific names, but the four different like types of like cheerleader kind of.
There's like a drill team.
Team, and that blew my mind. I went to an all-guy school, so we didn't have any even cheerleaders.
That sounds awful.
Yeah, so there's that, too. So
Trinity might have the creepiest mascot in DFW, by the way.
Oh, it was really creepy.
Yep.
Trojan
sure
Pete?
Is that his name, Trojan Pete?
I think
Pete?
It is.
I can't verify.
Making that up.
It's one of those where it's like the hybrid, where it's like, oh, you have normal people arms and legs, but you have mascot face,
a
and the mascot
head,
face
yeah.
is like fixated on just grinning creepily at people. It's kind of like Pistol Pete at Oklahoma State, also very creepy.
I was afraid to look it in the eyes, for sure. I thought I would just, you know, freeze.
It would be like Temple of Doom. Your face would just melt.
Maybe exactly. That's where I got Trojan Pete from. But let's just kind of go into the actual games that we witnessed. Just kind of, Matt, what kind of stood out to you in that first week? Obviously, you were at DeSoto Jesuit. You're also at the Star. What was your kind of takeaway from those games or just from the week in general?
Well, I'll start with Friday night. That was DeSoto and Jesuit. And I think the big storyline of what I ended up writing about was Sean Robinson, the quarterback, transferred from Guyer. And so obviously, this was his first start as DeSoto quarterback. Won a really kind of a tough quarterback battle because DeSoto had a pretty good guy in line, but Sean Robinson looked great. By last year in the playoffs, and Guyer had a good team in the playoffs last year, he could barely throw the ball, and that was the conversation mm-hmm. in the press box. And he was injured, but so there was something to prove for him in this game. And he went out, and really early on, he threw a 57-yard pass that wasn't a touchdown, but it wasn't also like a little screen pass that somebody took for 57 yards. I mean, it was a rainbow that he dropped in there, and I was like, okay, he's a legit quarterback. Obviously, he's committed to TCU. People like him, but mm-hmm. I think there were some people who questioned him last year, and so you throw him into the mix, and I think DeSoto, which rose to number one in our rankings this week, I mean, they just look really, really good. Poor Jesuit, they lost their quarterback, Polish, right before halftime, and that was tough on them, but that would have been my first thing that stood out. I was at the Ford Center on Saturday. Those games were not very good, but it didn't matter. That was all about that Palace, which is pretty awesome. And then the other thing that I guess that stood out for me, I wasn't there, but watching Cedar Hill on Saturday night. And, you know, you can say, well, that's a little hit to Texas pride or whatever. I mean, it's making Avi almost cough himself silly over there. But, you know, it was clear that Bishop Gorman is just a fantastic team, and they're so loaded. And Martell, their quarterback, it's really difficult to deal with him.
I think the running back's better. I love that. The kid who's...
Biagio Ali Walsh.
First of all, he's got Biagio, and he's in Vegas. Second of all, he's Muhammad Ali's grandson.
Right.
Third, he's a professional model. And fourth, I found a picture of him in like modeling pose holding a Capri Sun. And Capri Suns, I think we can all agree, pretty awesome.
Yeah, that game, I was at that game. I think what people forget in that game is it was a close game for three and a half quarters.
Right.
Now, Cedar Hill just could not do anything offensively. After the game, Joe McQuarrie talked about how they couldn't run the ball at all, and he talked...
Except that one play.
Really? Well, on the fake punt.
Yeah. Fake punt.
72-yard fake punt. One of the greatest kind of runs we'll see this year, but he really talked about how Bishop Gorman fit well with their linebackers and defensive line and their secondary coming out, and I think that was kind of the difference for them. And they just could not hold on to, they just could not contain Tate Martell
and
or Biagio Ali.
I think, and you're right, it was close for three quarters because Cedar Hill's defense played pretty well.
Yeah.
But that is going to be, to me, the big thing as we're going forward. We're still talking about Cedar Hill as a state championship contender. Can they run the ball against these non-Bishop Gorman defenses? Because they got a great quarterback, Avery Davis. They're loaded at wide receiver. But they're going to have to run the ball to establish some things, mm-hmm. or people are just going to kind of the reverse. They're going to play against that pass and just say, you know, get what you can running. And so we'll see if Cedar Hill can do it against an opponent that's not quite as elite in these weeks coming up.
I think best case scenario, this pisses Cedar Hill off real bad. I think Cedar Hill just like, man, we just got blown out. I mean, they didn't lose. They lost by 30 points on national television. And, you know, I think best case scenario, this motivates them the rest of the season. And then as, you know, they go like a run to state, we look back and it's like, hey, remember when Cedar Hill lost to Bishop Gorman? Which ultimately, kind of meaningless. I mean, it's like you lost this game and, okay, the only thing you lose is like if you wanted a perfect season, you don't get that. But they can still accomplish all their goals. They can win
Cedar
district.
Hills,
they can...
those championships in 2013, 2014, they were not undefeated. Not
mm-hmm.
close.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Joe, what did you just kind of take away from the week and Trinity kind of coming back there against Broken Arrow?
Yeah, you know, Trinity kind of started off really slow. I think at the end of the first quarter, there was a combined between both Broken Arrow and Trinity 31 total yards with, I think, 7 coming from Trinity. So it's kind of one of those things like, when is the Trinity offense going to kind of, you know, get going? When is the run game going to finally push through? And then simultaneously in the second half, they found big plays in the pass and, you know, they were running the ball consistently with Courage Kine, a Matt Wixon name favorite. So, yeah, you know, they kind of put up full throttle in the second half to finish with 26 unanswered.
Yeah, for me, I was at Highland Park Rockwall there on Friday, the debut of John Stephen Jones, Jerry Jones's grandson. 325 yards, 4 touchdowns, looked very good. He needs to kind of grow into his size a little bit. He's kind of the smaller of the three quarterbacks they were looking at, but he's got a good arm. He was dropping a few dimes in there, so he should be interesting to watch there, even if he did not have the Jones name. And then we talked about Cedar Hill, Bishop Gorman. The last point, I think, one of the biggest wins this week, Duncanville surviving Plano East there. Really a great game. Duncanville scores and then gets the turnover right at the end to win it. And we'll talk to Reggie Samples in a second here about just that game and his kind of rebuilding project there at Duncanville. But just what do you kind of expect out of Duncanville after kind of having that this first win and kind of now there's some data on the board from them?
Well, I watched what Reggie Samples did at Skyline, which was a playoff team for years, but never could get past the first round. And then he went there after he had basically made Lincoln a powerhouse. Then he made Skyline a powerhouse, the kind of team that could go to the state semifinals. And in fact, they had, in two different years, they had Allen almost beaten in a semifinal. They had South Lake Carroll almost beaten in a semifinal. And I don't know if Coach Samples even wants to talk about those because it was so painful for him. But I think it shows what coaching can do when you get your guys in there. It's his second year, and I think they are going to be a legit playoff team in that district.
All right, let's talk with Duncanville coach Reggie Samples right now. Reggie, big win over Plano East on week one. Just what is kind of the feeling at the school on this Monday here?
Well, I'm sure the kids are excited. You know, they're in class right now and hadn't had a chance to interact with them. You know, from a coaching staff, we celebrated just a little on Friday evening, but, you know, we got to play another game this week, so we want to try to keep getting better.
Coach, when you were coming from Lincoln and going and taking over at Skyline, does it feel somewhat similar to that, where you have some pieces to work with, but they just weren't real successful in years past, and it was something that you saw a lot of potential in?
Yeah, well, I just know that the community kind of familiar with this side of town, and I know that there are athletes here, and I just felt like this would be a good situation for me. I really like the facilities and the fact that I have a stadium on my own campus, and it allows me to get practice time in and get home a little earlier. So I just felt like it was time for me.
Now, I think a lot of people know about Lincoln. A lot of people know what you did at Skyline and now Duncanville. I'm just curious about the journey. How did you kind of get your start in coaching, and how did you kind of build up to where you were at Lincoln and Skyline and now Duncanville?
Well, I started my coaching career at Madison, actually, with my old high school defensive coordinator, he had gotten a Madison job, and he hired me as a freshman coach, and stayed there for about 10 years and kind of worked from the freshman team to the offensive coordinator. And, of course, Lincoln was our big rivalry. We were having those South Dallas Super Bowls and all that kind of stuff. And Lincoln had a couple of down years, and I think we had beat them about 7 or 8 times in a row. And just got a break. The administration there had been watching me, you know, across the sideline from Madison, and I got an opportunity to get the job, and I took it and went from there.
Well, sure, you go and get the team that's beating you. Go get the coach from over there. That makes sense.
Yep, that's kind of how it happened.
Well, last year, Coach, when you went 3-7 at Duncanville your first year, was it tough by the end of the year keeping the kids plugged in, or were they plugged in and knowing that, hey, that season's not it, you're building for something bigger in the future?
Yeah, it was kind of tough. And I think it was tough just because, you know, you come in with a lot of hoopla, and I think sometimes people think you are a magician or a miracle worker, and, you know, that's not the case. You know, you have to really work things into shape and get kids to establish a work ethic. And it's not something that just happens overnight. And of course, from a coaching standpoint, you're always positive. You're always, you know, regardless of what the situation is, you know, you set high goals and then you try to make the kids believe them. But once the reality sets in that you're not really going to get there, you know, it gets hard. Because, you know, as you lose and lose and lose, there's just not a lot of things you can teach from losing.
As someone who hadn't lost a lot of games in the recent past, just what was it like for you having to struggle through that 3-7 season?
Well, at first it was really hard. You're right, because I just wasn't used to it. But then when you started to realize, I started to really... You know, I think the biggest thing is you have to really identify what the problem is. And once I started looking at what was going on, I realized that we just didn't have a lot of returning players. I was basically playing in one of the toughest districts in the state of Texas with the junior varsity. We only had, like, I think we had two starters or maybe three starters back on offense and maybe two on defense. And out of all of them, we only had 14 lettermen coming back that had even suited out. So, you know, I had to fill a team with kids who were from the JV and freshman team. And, you know, we played, you know, you don't get a break when you're playing DeSoto, Cedar Hill, South Grand Prairie, and Mansfield. Those, it's just not a break in the schedule.
Coach, be honest with me. Last year, you had Trey Seegers, you had Jalen Nelson. Was that the best JV team of all time?
They were pretty good. They were pretty good. I mean, I've had some good JVs when I was at Skyline, but they were pretty good. I have to admit that, you know, we still had some holes because we moved a bunch of, you know, one of the things that I try to do is, and I do it every year, is, you know, if I get good sophomores, I try to get them some varsity experience because it's like money in the bank. When those guys play varsity for 3 years, those last couple of years, they're pretty darn good. You know, we had a few holes, but our JV was pretty solid. A few of my rival coaches gave me a hard time about the JV.
Yeah, I bet.
Those two guys, having them experience what they did last year, do you think that just made them hungrier that to come back their senior year on varsity? It's going to be their only varsity season at Duncanville. Do you think that just motivated them more to really make the most out of 2016?
Without a doubt. You know, if you watch them work in the off season and watch just how they actually kind of were the example for some of the other kids, and that is what helped the program so much, in that you know, their motivation and their drive is kind of rubbed off on all of the people around them. And of course, you know, when you start to work like that and everybody's starting to pitch in and do their part, you know, it builds confidence, and that's really helped us.
When I came out there in the spring, you talked about those two guys and how they could have gone to private school and had 2 years of varsity playing time. Just how much did it kind of mean to you that they stayed with the program even though they weren't eligible to play on varsity last year?
Oh, it was really, I don't even know the words to use. You know, it just gave me, you know, it was really great as a coach because it just showed their loyalty to me as a coach and to the Duncanville community. And, you know, it just gives you a special feeling toward guys like that. And I think, again, it has done so much for us, period, because everybody knows it. I mean, you know, and, of course, you know how high school football is. I can't say for sure. But I'm sure they would get some encouragement to go ahead and leave also.
Oh, yeah.
But just the fact that they stayed and they weathered the storm, you know, and of course, I have to say something about their parents. Those two young men have great support systems at home. And I think the biggest thing is the parents felt like, even though things didn't work out by rule, the parents felt like that they were doing things the right way. So when you feel that you're doing things the right way, sometimes that just leads you to stick to your guns, and that's what they do.
So, Coach, kind of coming after, you know, last season and, you know, going through the offseason, what kind of questions did you have about your team that were kind of answered in that first week one win?
Just that they were mentally tough. Plano East has a real good ball club, and you know, we were tit for tat all the way through the game. As a matter of fact, you know, we really did ourselves a disservice. We could have went up two touchdowns right before the half, and Jalen threw an interception with 2 minutes on the clock. And then instead of going up two touchdowns, we ended up going in at halftime tied. And a lot of my friends who follow me around, you know, and who watched us play last year, I had a couple of them call me on the weekend and said, "Well, I just knew, they said, "Coach, we just knew that that was the end of the team. Once they tied the game up, we felt like that, you know, you guys would come back after the half and tank it."
and you know,
great friends you got there.
Yeah, you're exactly right. But they just watched us play last year, and you know, again, it's just the hard work and the fact that, you know, these kids, you know, they really pulled together and worked hard this summer. It just showed. I can't say that I was 100% confident on what they would do my own self. But, you know, it really showed because they fought and fought and fought. And, of course, Plano scored on us with, I think it was 2 minutes, almost 2 minutes and 3 minutes left on the clock. And the last drive, we got the last drive with about 2.5 minutes and ended up scoring with 59 seconds. So, like I said, I was proud of the fact that, you know, they showed that they were mentally tough. And, you know, kids talk about it, you know, a lot. But, you know, it really doesn't come to fruition until you actually experience it and see them go through.
All right. Coach Reggie Samples, thanks for joining us, and congrats on the week's one win there.
I appreciate it, guys. And, hey, y'all all vote against me all the time.
It's only Corbett. He's the only one that believes in you.
I know it, but, I love it. That helps me out.
You're welcome.
Have a good season.
All right. Thank you, guys.
All right. See you later.
Thanks again to Reggie Samples. Let's kind of look ahead to week two here. Woo. We have some great games. We have kind of another DFW First the World Challenge here. DFW goes 2-2 in the first week against out-of-state teams. Southlake Carroll and Cedar Hill both lose. Trinity wins. And
Allen wins.
That's correct. Allen goes back and plays Shreveport Evangel Christian this weekend. Matt, you're going to be there. Just what are you kind of looking for in that game?
It's going to be a bigger challenge, in my opinion, than last week. Hoover is a really solid team, and that was a good win for Allen. But I think Evangel Christian is going to have some better athletes. They got a really good quarterback. They got a lot of speed in their secondary. And they're going to, you know, create some problems. One thing that a lot of people were asking me, what happened with Allen's offense? Because they scored 25 points. Mm-hmm. But if you do look back, and I was talking with Terry Gamble, Allen's coach, you know, it's true. He was pointing out Hoover has never given up a lot of points. I mean, that's something they really pride themselves on, their defense. They're really stout on defense every year. So it'll be interesting to see this year. Does Allen break out a little more offensively? But I think they're going to have a bigger challenge defensively trying to shut down Evangel Christian.
And a theme to look for in the season, and I don't think he'll ever get the credit, or maybe he does and I'm just reinforcing it, but Corey Kane is one of the only pieces that stayed at Allen from the Tom Westerberg.
Explain who Corey Kane is.
Allen defensive coordinator. Thanks. From the Tom Westerberg era. He stays with the team. The whole offensive coaching staff changes. They gave up, a touchdown the first drive of the game, never allowed another one. That defense does not have a lot of huge names on it.
No.
I mean, they have a great middle linebacker that can be their captain. They can anchor that thing. But as far as, like, you know, like you're looking at, like, high-profile recruits, they're not there. And for him to consistently year in and year out has a defense that often gets overshadowed by Allen's offense, I think that is the rock of their team. Maybe even this year. I mean, we'll see. I just think that you got to give credit where it's due.
Yeah, well, he certainly deserves credit. Although I will point out, too, Allen was so senior heavy on defense, and those guys played for several years. Mm-hmm. There were people who were just not getting an opportunity, so you're not going to get recruited.
Yeah.
There are some guys who are going to emerge.
The
off
depth
that defense
is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I mean, they have good duplicate. They have over, you know, whatever, 120 people in varsity. So
makes it a lot easier. When you got 100.
Yeah. Got some guys to choose from.
Yeah. So the other game is Aledo versus Westlake Village. Joe, being a Californian, what can you tell us about Westlake Village?
Yeah, Westlake Village is almost usually like the little brother to kind of Oaks Christian down
where
there.
Where is that?
It's in Southern California.
Oh.
Yeah. Oaks Christian has produced some, I believe Malik Henry, Florida State, went there. Jimmy Clausen. There you go.
Ooh.
Kicker sucks.
Yeah, so he went there. You know, Westlake, I don't know if they're, you know, the biggest competitor, ranked 159th in the state of California right now, but it's always cool to see the California-Texas connection playing out. So,
how did you view Texas high school football as a California? Did you think California was, like, the superior product?
No, I mean, not the superior product. You know, Texas is obviously Texas. The lore, you know, is all there. It's funny, actually. My junior year, we were talking to Trinity about possibly playing at Trinity.
Mm.
So that was kind of a weird, like, you know, deja vu kind of moment for me. When
Trinity played De La Salle last year.
Yeah, yeah. So they've been talking about playing with the California teams. They got De La last year, which was huge for them. But yeah, Texas is always, I mean, you know, we watch Friday Night Lights, we know. So, yeah, they're huge.
All right. Real quick, just any kind of games you're looking at this week here?
I love Highland Park Hatchie. I really like that
game.
I think that's going to be a really good game. Highland Park, great win last week. Hatchie, I think, had a little trouble getting it going. They came out with a win. I think that offense versus John House and the Highland Park defense is going to be really good. Another one, maybe a little bit under the radar, is Ennis versus Tyler John Tyler. I think Tyler John Tyler could win that district this year, which is going to be really good with Rockwall. And Ennis is, I don't know, it's Ennis is a little bit up in the air, but those are, I think, two really under the radar great games.
I'll give you two, Mansfield and Cedar Hill. Cedar Hill coming off a loss, and now they're playing another team. I mean, this is a big challenge. Mm-hmm. I will probably pick Cedar Hill to win, but I think it's going to be a close game. And they had some trouble stopping the run last week, and they get Kennedy Brooks from Mansfield, who's maybe the best running back in the state. He's certainly up there, Eno would argue. But, yeah. But anyways, I think that'll be a great game.
Eno's actually the best quarterback. You know?
Yeah, that's great. He's now a hybrid. We're not sure how to put him. But and the other big one, I think, is – or another big one is South Lake Carroll and Arlington Martin.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Carroll couldn't do anything offensively last week, and Martin absolutely obliterated Skyline.
My God.
And
55-7.
It's hard to think of a Carroll team being 0-2, even if they are not a vintage Carroll team, and that's still to be – you know, that's a story still to be told. We don't know.
They need that running game back.
Yeah.
They're missing Lil Jordan Humphrey real bad. If you look at the
stats. And they're missing Zach Farrar as a
oh, yeah, they had a ton of pieces. And Mason Holmes is going to be relied upon a lot, probably maybe more than you should. But I don't know. Carroll's Carroll. They'll be good.
I do like that Highland Park Waxahachie game. Highland Park's linebackers were as good as advertised against Rockwall. They looked fast.
So sick.
That defense looks good. So it will be interesting to see how they match up against Hatchie and their receivers and their kind of spread offense there. I also like Jesuit Plano East, two teams that lost. Kind of, this could be
it's like
kind
a
of
must
a,
win for
yeah,
somebody.
Yeah, this could be a big game
here. Somebody's going to be 0-2.
But it's non-district.
Yeah, that's true.
And Jesuit's not going to have their – well, I'm pretty sure they're not going to have Jacob Polish.
Their quarterback. Yeah, he's supposed to go to the doctor today, which is Monday, if you're listening later in the week.
Mike Flork will be in the parking lot of the hospital.
Yeah.
Live tweeting
updates.
Actually, yeah. Facebook Live. If you could do a Facebook Live or Periscope from the operation or whatever.
I feel like that violates some laws.
I'm
but
kidding.
I'll look into it.
God,
I'll look into
right.
it.
He'd also jump to an operation. I don't think we're going that far.
Okay, sorry. I couldn't think of the word. Anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, so those are two games I'm looking out for. Joe, are you looking for anything here?
Yeah, Cedar Hill, Mansfield. I'm really curious to see. You know, last year Avery Davis throws an interception when they're almost in field goal range to end it. So that one I'm looking forward to. Also, I'm curious to see how Frisco Lone Star kind of does after, you know, dominating last week. And then they get a team in Mansfield Timberview, you know, who forced 6 turnovers and, you know, defense looked really good in week one. So
there's an elephant in the room. You guys want to just tackle this one? Guyer DeSoto.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Little interesting matchup there. Outside of the drama, that's just a good game.
Yeah.
You know, I mean DeSoto really... you know, put it on last week.
For people who don't know, DeSoto's quarterback is Guyer's quarterback from the last 2 years. Yeah, Sean Robinson, who he politely declined to talk about
which,
playing his former team, which
smart.
I totally understand.
Yeah.
He just complimented them, you know, like said, it's a really good school. Mm-hmm. They got a good quarterback. So there's not, at least outwardly, there's not like bad blood there. But it's interesting when you play a former team and like Avi said, no matter, even if it wasn't like that kind of connection there, it's a good game.
Yeah.
Guyer's got two tremendous running backs.
Yes.
I'm interested to see if DeSoto
Noah Cain.
What they can do with that.
Noah Cain.
Is it Myron Mason?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. That's a good combo. And DeSoto was just, I mean, their offense in the second half just looked crazy good.
Yeah. Yeah. Also, a little Houston DFW, Trinity Westfield. I think that's going to be an awesome game.
That would be good. All right, let's move into the game that is sweeping the Texas high school football nation. It's called the Nobody Believes in Us game. We debuted it last week. Basically, we pick one team that we think after this week is going to be saying, we did it and nobody believed in us. Nobody believed we could do it and we did it. Last week, we was kind of like a more season-long outlook. I did take Arlington. I thought they could challenge South Grand Prairie there.
And they did.
They did.
22-20.
Winning that game would have been huge for my Nobody Believed in Us pick. so a little disappointed.
Do it for Florick, DFW.
Wixon had North Mesquite just on a season-long level. This week, I think there's a lot of us. I think the winner of the Jesuit Plano East game could have some Nobody Believes in Us potential there. Mansfield Timberview as well, as Joe mentioned. But I think that despite their high ranking, Cedar Hill is going to be my pick because they lose to Bishop Gorman. I feel like even beating Mansfield, I feel like somebody on that team is going to say, you know, everyone was down on us. Nobody really believed in us. And they are my pick for the Nobody Believed in Us team of the week. Matt, who do you have?
Well, you know, I didn't necessarily have a strong one until I heard that this is sweeping the state, and I figure I better come up with something.
Yeah.
And if you said it, I'm sure it's true. I'm going to go with Plano coming off of their win over Hebron, and it's a bit of a season-long thing because Plano was unranked coming into the season. In fact, you know, we figured the Plano school to beat was Plano East. May still be that way. But Plano, I mean, they dominated Hebron, and I think they're going to go to 2-0 this week against MacArthur, and then we'll see after that. But I'm sure Plano players could be using the, well, you know, nobody believed in us. They didn't rank us, had us low. I think a lot of people didn't pick them to make the playoffs. And now, you know, based on one game, of course, it's a very small sample size. They look pretty good.
Do we actually have to believe the team's going to win?
You have?
No.
Okay.
I mean.
Well, that would make the game funner, though.
Yeah, you have
fun
to.
More fun. Thanks,
to Ami. Win the game, you have to have the team say nobody believed in us. And I feel like they would have to win. They would have to pull the upset.
I think Mike is going to need to, like, issue official rules next week so we really know what's going on.
That's true. This was kind of like a half-baked idea that I just, it just took off.
It
know,
just happened to sweep
week.
The state, and what are you
going
to do?
Sports Day HS podcast.
Yeah,
never fully baked.
Yeah, so Joe, who is your Nobody Believed in Us team this week?
Yeah, I already talked about it, but I'm going to go with Mansfield Timberview. I think, you know, it's kind of cliche to throw the word trap game out there for Frisco Lone Star, but, you know, after a huge win last week, you know, Jason Shelley throwing for a million yards, I'm curious to see how they go up against the Timberview defense. So
yeah, Frisco schools are undefeated right now in the Ford Center.
Oh yeah,
actually they're 500.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, I got one.
Okay, obviously.
And only because they had this game last week, and if they win, they're gonna bring it back so much harder. Flower Mound takes on Keller Fossil Ridge, and
that was a nice win.
That was a.
It was a big win.
Well, no, last week was Flower Mound versus WT White.
Right,
Flower Mound smokes them by like 66-14, and this is not a barometer of like total fan like support or anything like that. But the final score, like sometimes I look at who got the most retweets. It got 300 retweets when Flower Mound beat.
I think that's
WT White, and
they are
so
hungry
happy.
For a winner. They're hungry
so
for a winner.
Happy in Flyerman because, for me, an outsider perspective, I just assume, oh, if you're in Flyerman, Marcus, like that's the guess what? Flyerman's 1-0. Marcus is 0-1. I think my pick this week is that it's either. God, I'm going to go with two. Flyerman or LD Bell. If LD Bell beats North Crowley, whoa, here comes LD Bell. Y'all sleeping on us.
I like it. I like it. You guys need to tell us your Nobody Believes in Us team. Tweet us at SportsDayHS, Facebook.com/SportsDayHS. We're on the gram, SportsDayHS.
Might be snapping a little this week.
Oh, we're on the gram and we're snapping.
We're on the gram and we're snapping.
Resident old guy, Matt Wixon.
Do us a favor. Go to iTunes, subscribe. Give us 5 stars.
We need to beat Dave Campbell's.
Yeah, it helps us. With the iTunes rankings, they don't tell us the algorithm, but reviews and 5-star ratings and all that kind of stuff, that helps us out. It helps us beat the rankings.
A vote for us is a vote against Greg Tepper. Remember that.
And we'll see you next Friday night.